The programming on 88.1 FM is made possible in part by WWER Watts members, who show their support of community radio by donating online at wwer.org/membership. If you like our programming, please consider contributing to wwer.org/membership. Here for you.
Welcome to Porch Talk. My name is Ted Tate, and today I'm sitting on a very warm summer's day in front of the my own porch with John Heath. Welcome to Porch Talk.
Well, thanks for having me, Ted. Appreciate it.
Are you from here, or how did you find Colonial Beach?
Well, the first time I ever came to Colonial Beach, I really don't remember it. I had a very good friend in the 70s, and his family had a cottage in Potomac Beach, which is down on the other side of Wilkerson's, right around where Wilkerson's was. And we came to the cottage a couple of times, and I'm sure we came into town, but I don't really remember it. The next time I came here, I'm sure most of your listeners know or may know Megan Davis, who owns the Tides Inn here in town. She and my wife were best friends in school, all the way through school.
And where was that?
That was in Richmond.
Okay.
Yeah. And her ex-husband and I used to be in business together.
Tight-knit there.
Yeah. So we've known Megan for a long, long time. When she bought the Tides Inn, probably 2008 or something like that, 9 maybe, I'm not sure what the year was. She invited us to come up and see it when they first bought it and were remodeling it and so forth. And we started coming up to see her and coming up and spending, you know, a few weekends and whatnot. And we were here in 2012. She'd been trying to talk us into buying a place up here. Mm. And in 2012, we were here during Sandy, during the hurricane Sandy.
Oh, okay.
And we actually looked at the house that we live in now on Virginia Avenue the night that Sandy was
oh,
hit.
No.
Yeah. And we really liked it, and we put an offer in on it, and we closed on it on December 22nd of 2012. And we started coming up here virtually every weekend.
So Sandy was coming when you were making an offer on this house.
It was actually here. It was blowing here and raining pretty hard. In fact, Bob Swink, who's our agent, his wife was calling him from their marina saying, the waves are really big over here. What do we need to do? And he's like, I'll be there in a little while. I'm showing this house.
It's funny. Bob was involved in the sale of this house. He was the selling agent. And right after we contracted with it, we had a hurricane, and you remember the earthquake?
Oh, yeah.
We had the earthquake. And then right after we closed, we had that week where it rained continuously for a week, and we had 22 inches of rain.
Yeah. Yeah, we've had some interesting weather here. But, yeah, we've enjoyed it. We started coming up, like I said, almost every weekend, and got to know more and more people, and started going to the Tides Inn when the music was playing, obviously. And then as the music expanded around town, doing that, going to Peggy's Pier and doing all those things, and got to know more and more people and just loved it so much. We've been here, you know, I wouldn't say 52 weeks a year, but probably 48 anyway, since 2013. And I retired about 3 years ago, so we started being here 4 or 5 days a week instead of just 2. And we recently sold our house in Richmond, and we're here full time now. Started thinking about it seriously about a year ago, and we've been in the house 27 years, and it took a long time to go through all the stuff that was
in
that house.
So, and is the house here smaller? I guess you'd have to.
Oh yeah, it's a lot smaller.
Downsize. I
mean, yeah, and this house was already full because we were here all the time.
Right.
So we've got a pretty big storage facility with stuff in it that we're not sure what we're going to do with.
I always think the whole storage facility thing is a bad idea because you end up paying storage fees for like 5 years, and then you get rid of the stuff
anyway. But, you know, a lot of the stuff was furniture that we got from Eileen's mom or from my parents, things that we think maybe our kids might use when they get married and that kind of stuff. But I don't know. We just had to get it out of the house, so we took it to the storage facility. And we got rid of a lot of stuff and brought a lot of stuff here. We're still unpacking. We've been here since April 10th, and we're still trying to figure out where to put stuff. As you know, the houses here are not, don't have a lot of storage in them. Our house was built in the 1890s, and it has two closets in the whole house.
Yeah. Well, they're built as summer cottages. They didn't expect people to be staying long term.
And people back in those days
didn't have stuff.
It didn't have stuff. They had, you know, a suit and three or four pairs of overalls and a couple of shirts and a dress or two, and that was about it.
But, yeah.
Now people have a whole closet full of shoes. Yeah, it's a different world.
And since being here, you've certainly gotten involved in the town and things going on. You mentioned music. Are you involved in the music scene at all, or just as a listener?
Mostly as a listener. I plink around a little bit on the guitar and sing once in a while, but I'm not. I love music. Obviously. There's a lot of music in my family, and so I love music, and I love to go listen to it, and I love the musicians. I mean, they're all great people, the ones here, and they're all very giving and everything. No, I don't. The only other music thing I really do is we started a music club at the high school because there's no music there. So Sally Adams, who people and your listeners know very well, is involved in that, along with John Murphy and Marty Capuletti and my wife and I. And so we have a music club at the high school when the high school's in session. And Sally's teaching the kids how to read music and how to write songs and all that stuff. It's a great program.
So the school didn't have any kind of music classes. Is that what you're telling me?
In the high school, there's absolutely no music. There's no band. There's no music classes. There's no music teacher. There's no music facilities at all.
So you guys have at BAM have sort of built this, or is this part of BAM or not?
It is part of BAM.
It is part of BAM. Yeah. And you've done this from scratch.
Yeah.
With the cooperation of the school, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. And the local musicians, and it's been great. And the kids really, really enjoy it and really... I think they're getting a lot out of it. They seem to be very involved in it. They're writing, like I said, they're writing a song now, collaborative song.
Wow.
And they've all contributed parts of it and pieces of it. And as the musicians come in, some of them have a little bit of knowledge. They play, you know, a little bit of guitar, a little bit of piano or whatever. And the musicians, as they come in, help them enhance their skills and all that. It's been really great, and it's great to see the kids so involved in it.
Neat. I know Sally Adams did one of these porch talks actually with one of the students who was an aspiring singer.
Uh huh.
And that was really neat. And she sang a couple songs and everything. Yeah. So it's nice that you're giving the kids this sort of an opportunity to explore, their artistic side if the school can't offer that.
Yeah, I don't know whether, I know you talked to Jenny Sullivan here, and she talked a little bit about BAM, but, we're there's a program at the elementary and middle school called the 21st Century Learning Center After School Program, and they have an after school program, obviously, for whatever kids need to come, and they do they do studying with them, and they mentor them on math and other skills and do some things, but they have a specific period that is for all kinds of enhancement activities.
The period in the school day?
In the after school program.
Oh, I see.
The after school program goes from the end of school until about 5:30.
Okay.
And so they feed them something, and then they go through these little periods where they do some math skills, and they do reading things and various stuff that's school related.
So it's almost like another mini school day.
It is. And the enhancement period is supposed to be non-academic. And so they do it under a federal grant. and the federal grant requires that they have a community partner. And they had a community partner one time who wasn't really involved, and they were looking for somebody else, and they approached us, so we said we would do it. And so we bring in volunteers from the community to just do whatever with the kids. So we've had people come in and teach the kids yoga for relaxation. Huh. We've had people come in and do cooking. We've had people come in and do art projects, like around Halloween. We did a program about how jack-o'-lanterns evolved and where they came from, and then they made jack-o'-lanterns. They got to take them home. We did a thing in the wintertime about snowflakes, and the kids all got to make cut out snowflakes.
So it's snowflakes. It's got multiple elements.
Oh,
to
it's
it.
Got any. You know, I don't know whether your listeners know about Barry Millward, but Barry's an English gentleman that lives here in town, and he said he wanted to help, but he didn't really know what he could do. And so my wife Eileen said, "Well, you know, what did you do for a living?" And he's like, "Well, I sold airplane parts. I really, you know, I love airplanes." And she said, "Well, why don't you come in and teach the kids how to make paper airplanes?" So he came in and did a program on how to make paper airplanes. And we had 50 or 60 kids in the hallways of the school doing airplane races. It was a wonderful day. And kids loved it.
And at the same time, you can inject a little knowledge and teach about aerodynamics.
Absolutely. We try to put something academic related in there. A little bit of math or a little bit of reading. Sometimes we give the kids something to read after they leave so they can enhance their knowledge. So, and that's been a wonderful program.
It sounds awesome, because to me, you know, in school you're teaching the building blocks, math, English, history, but what are you going to do with those building blocks? What can you make out of this? And what you're doing is saying, okay, well, you know, those math skills and you know, some knowledge about aerodynamics, you can, you know, calculate wingspan whatever, yeah. You know, this is what you can do with that.
Right.
And so it teaches kids not only that there are practical applications to these things, but maybe even gives them a glimpse into what they might want to do for a living.
Really, really, absolutely. Even the cooking kind of stuff, you know, they learn about pints and quarts and tablespoons and all that in school, but it doesn't really, you know, until they are actually tablespoon and measuring something. Yeah,
who cares? I just want some sugar in my in my iced tea.
Right.
But now you, yeah.
Yeah. So it's been a great program, and we've done a lot of other things with them too. We took the after school programs, as you may know, my wife and I both play tennis, so. When Torrey Smith Park opened, we took the kids on a field trip to Torrey Smith Park and just did a tennis. You know, that some of them had never held a tennis racket, and you know, they all got to take a tennis ball home if they wanted to, and they got to get out on the court and hit the ball and learn a little bit about how to do backhand, forehand, or whatever. And we're going to expand that when the park opens back up.
Right. And I mean, when you know. Obviously, in these situations, probably most kids aren't ever going to pick up a racket again, but maybe a few, you know, just take a liking to it, and now they found something they love.
Right. Exactly.
That's the point. You're just sort of expanding their knowledge.
We are. We're trying to enhance their lives however we can.
That's really cool. I guess you mentioned the parks being closed. The whole COVID situation has really probably put a damper on your activities.
It really has. We're doing some things with the kids, like about 6 weeks ago or so, we bought a whole bunch of 2 gallon Ziploc bags, which are huge. They're like 18 inches by 14 inches or something like that. And then we stuffed them with all kinds of educational and fun stuff. So we put puzzles and games and stories and crayons and sunglasses and bubbles and all kinds of stuff into them. And then we did 350 of them. A whole group of volunteers got together at the community center and stuffed all these bags. And then we followed around the vans that are delivering the meals from the the school to all the kids. And when they made a stop to deliver food, we asked them if they wanted one of the activity bags, and we gave one for each one of the kids. And then, so that gate, and the parents were as happy as the kids were.
Great, something else
to do.
Yeah, something else to distract the kids.
Yeah. And at Easter time, there's usually an Easter egg hunt on Town Hill. Obviously, they didn't do it this year because of COVID. So together with the PTA, with Amy Brown from the PTA, we got the names of about 55 families, and we took Easter eggs and stuffed them and little baskets, and we started about 9:30 at night on the night before Easter. We went around and put Easter eggs in these families' yards and put the Easter baskets out for them.
Oh,
so they
nice.
Could have an Easter egg hunt the next morning.
So the kids went out in their own yards and were able to play this game.
Yeah.
That's amazing. You must have an army of volunteers in BAM.
We do. We have, I think, at our last BAM concert, I think the list was about 78 people. So,
wow.
And there's a lot more that weren't there. We get people all the time volunteering, and people in this town are so generous. It's just, it boggles your mind sometimes how generous the people in this town are, and, with their time and their money. And, you know, if we do a silent auction or something that makes, you know, people buy something that's $100 for $250, it just amazes you how generous people are. And if you ask somebody, say we're going to do an activity and we need help, all kinds of people show up to help, and
that's amazing.
Just so heartwarming. And unfortunately, a lot of them never get to see the smiles and stuff on the face of the kids for what they've done, and we get to see that, and I feel very lucky that we.
Is that what motivates you?
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah. My wife and I have always done stuff with kids. I mean, our kids were little. We were always involved in all their stuff. She was always doing art things at school and at the daycares and all that sort of thing. I was always coaching. I coached, you know, all my kids through basketball and baseball and soccer and all kinds of
How
stuff.
How many kids did you have?
We have three. My oldest son, Johnny, is in his early 40s and lives in Richmond with his fiancée. And my youngest daughter, Katie, lives in Virginia Beach. She's got the dream job. She's a representative for a liquor distributor. So she goes around to all the bars and restaurants and tries to talk them into carrying their liquors and puts on shows and does all that kind of stuff, which all of us wanted to do when we were in our 20s, didn't we? So, and then, of course, my son Sean lives here with us in town.
So none of them are far. I mean, Virginia Beach is not.
We're all close together. We're very lucky in that regard.
So you're retired. What did you retire from? What was your line of work?
Well, my last line of work.
Oh.
I've had a lot of careers.
Okay.
But my last line of work, Eileen's brother and I had a office technology company. We started in 1986 in Richmond, and we went for about 30 years, and we sold it the year before I retired to another company, and part of the sale was I had to go to work for them and do the transition. And after I'd been there a year, I retired from there. So
office technology, what exactly does that mean?
Well, I'm a network engineer by profession, so okay. I did computer network engineering. We also did all kinds of imaging equipment, scanning equipment, copiers, fax equipment back when fax was a good thing.
My office still has one.
I know. There's still a few of them around. I actually remember when they first came out. We were actually in business when they first came out. And
yeah, the 80s.
Yeah, in the 80s. And I remember going into places and saying, you know, this is the new rage. It's this great device that you can put a piece of paper in it. And people would say, what would I ever use that for? You know, 20 years later, everybody had one, and 10 years later, nobody has one.
So you got out of the rat race, and you came to Colonial Beach, and you've gotten very involved in the kids. BAM obviously must take up a lot of your time. What else do you do for fun?
Oh, well, Sean and I like to fish, so we do some fishing.
From the shore or from a boat?
Both.
Okay.
We do both.
Do you have a boat?
We don't have what most people around here consider a boat. We actually have a motorized paddle boat.
Okay.
It has a little two-seater paddle boat like you see in the little ponds at a park, and it has a trolling motor on it.
Okay.
So we can both paddle and troll around, and a kayak. But no, we don't have a boat. We have a pool at our house, so we don't need a boat.
Oh,
people
okay.
want to come and use our pool, and they trade their use of their boat. So.
Friends with boats, always a good thing to have.
Yes. So, but yeah, and we do the pool. Right now we're... a lot of my time, besides what I do with Ben, is, fixing up this house so that, we can live here full time. We're making more storage and doing a lot of things to it.
Are you adding to it?
Well, we have an attic. What was an attic, it had probably a half an inch of dirt on the floor when we went up there. It was just has a little pull down stairs and so forth, and it was pretty nasty up there. So I cleaned that all up. Sean and I drug this humongous sander up there and sanded the floors down.
Oh wow!
And their original, varying width boards on the floor up there and all that.
Leftover planks.
Yeah, leftover planks and all that on the floor. And then we put a spiral staircase in going up there.
Ooh.
And now we've made it, it's no longer an attic, it's now a loft.
There you go.
So, we're working on that, and that's where a lot of our storage is going to be. I'm working on putting more storage.
So you're not really making it a living space, but you're making it a very accessible storage space.
It could be a living space, if I wanted to spend half of my retirement money putting a humongous air conditioner up there, because it's very hot. But, we do have one of those split air conditioning units up there, which keeps it at least bearable, and a skylight that opens up that we put in. But it's fine for sleeping. We've got two of those futon beds folded out into the dormer areas, and it's fine for sleeping because by the time you go up there to sleep, it's cool enough to sleep. But during the day, it's pretty brutal.
Another thing you might want to consider, I did this in an attic space once, is one of those big house fans that go, through the roof. And you, especially if you've got it open like you do now with a spiral staircase, you just turn that fan on and open up some downstairs windows, and you get all that cool night air just flowing through the whole house, and the hot air rises and the cool air comes in, and you'd be surprised how comfortable you can make your house on a moderate day, maybe not a 95 degree day, but on a moderate day, you can make your house quite comfortable without air conditioning.
Yeah. Well, that small mini split unit that's up there, if you turn it on early in the morning before it gets really hot, it'll keep the temperature pretty good up there, in the probably mid-70s, mid to high 70s. Mm. But if you let it get hot first, that thing will never
it's
cool
done.
It down.
Yeah. Well, believe it or not, we've eaten up most of our time. Time passes quickly on the porch at 88.1 FM. John, have you got anything else that you wanted me to ask you that I didn't, that you want folks to know?
Oh, I don't think so. I would encourage people, even though they're not hearing a lot from the nonprofits around town because of all that's going on, to please keep their eyes and ears open, because all those nonprofits are still doing the great work that they've done all along, and if people will keep their ears and eyes open, especially on social media, and when they see an opportunity, jump in and help. And it'll be rewarding, and it'll be very satisfying for you to do that.
I guess, certainly, I think some of the nonprofits are suffering a little bit because of all of this. Boy, that is one squeaky wheelbarrow. I'm sure listeners
can... WD-40.
Yeah. Wow. Well, John, thank you very much for joining me on the porch here at WWER. Really appreciate having a chance to chat with you.
Well, thanks for having me, and we really, really enjoy the radio station and all the things that are going on, all the music and all the things we hear. It's been a wonderful addition to the town.
Well, thank you. Appreciate it.